Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to the best radio station inside of my house in Bellamy, Texas. The Love Lift Me Up Show, featuring gospel artists, psalmists, authors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the new Love Lift Me Up Show with Dr. Love.
Welcome, welcome, welcome the late night edition of the Love Lift Jesus Up Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host for tonight, Afrida Love, and tonight we have a very special revelation or topic entitled Spiritual Conviction. Within this particular topic, we will highlight the facts that the Lord has given us, such as what is a spiritual conviction, how do we know that a spiritual conviction even exists, who can receive a spiritual conviction, and what is the correlation or what is the relationship between a spiritual conviction and a conscience. Also, we're going to look at different examples in the Bible in order to give us a better understanding. We're going to go under the unction of the Holy Spirit, whatever that is, and we're going to speak about phase one. And I'm going to give you a scenario, and we're going to go through that process, and that will conclude our first class. I just want you to know, for those of you who are just now joining me, first of all, I want to welcome you. Within this particular segment, you will find that this is a lesson that spirals, meaning that although we go through different phases, what will happen by maybe October is that the lesson will come in full swing, and it will go back around to the beginning. So what this is, with this spiritual conviction, this is the process of winning souls or bringing souls to Christ according to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so the Love Lift Jesus Up Ministry, for those of you who are just joining today and who just joined me today, I welcome you. The Love Lift Jesus Up Ministry is a ministry that focuses on spiritual conviction. And I want you to know before you even come on board and get settled in that when we speak about spiritual conviction, we're only speaking about the Holy Spirit. We're not speaking about pointing fingers, judging people, because this came from God. And this is the whole purpose of the reasoning behind the Love Lift Jesus Up Ministry. It's the reason why I'm on air. It's the reason why when we travel, that's the message that's going to be spread. It's the reason why when workshops begin to come in, that's the topic and the message that we're going to give to the people, because it's very important that we all are spiritually convicted. And another question that just came to me as I was speaking to you is, how many times can we be convicted by the Spirit? That's another question, okay, that we will answer. So without further ado, I would like to go ahead and get started with the Love Lift Jesus Up Ministry, where Jesus shines with love, by first of all praying unto God. Then I'm going to read a scripture. Then you're going to hear a song, and the song is by the Florida Mass Choir entitled Jesus Is Mine. Then after we raise the service, we're going to consecrate ourselves before God. Then after we consecrate ourselves, then we're going to go into the Word of God with the spiritual conviction class, and I would like to welcome you to that class. As far as the syllabus, amen, I will have a syllabus. I will put it online, and you will have your syllabus by Monday, next Monday, God's will, because seriously, I take this very serious. Whenever the Lord gives me a task, I take it serious, and it's also serious because we're dealing with people and their souls. We're dealing with winning souls, and many ministers and pastors will receive this same guide or booklet, you know, by way of God, actually. And it's really, these classes will be really inspirational because I'm going on the unction of the Holy Spirit, okay? So without further ado, let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to say a prayer. We're going to read a scripture and psalm. Then we're going to go to a little music, and then we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for blessing us to wake up this morning. We thank you for starting us on our way, Lord. We thank you for giving us a reasonable health portion of our health and strength. Lord Jesus, we ask you in the name of Jesus, would you just continue to look down upon us, Heavenly Father, and you know all of our needs. You know what the will for our lives you know what that consists of, and we're just asking you, would you help us to walk in your will, Lord. Lord God, we're asking in the name of Jesus, would you give us the words to disseminate unto the people and let the words fall on open ears, Heavenly Father. And those ears that are deaf, Heavenly Father, we ask that you begin to speak to them so that they can begin to open up their ears. Lord God, we ask you, would you bless this particular segment with the spiritual conviction, revelation to be something that you're pleased with. We ask that you give me the words to speak. And would you bless the meditation of my spirit to be parallel to that of yours, Heavenly Father. We're asking, would you bless each listener who's on the ministry right now, Lord, and those who are going to listen. We thank you for being who you are. We thank you for our family. We thank you for our friends, Lord. We thank you for the platform. We thank you for the people that you're allowing us to connect with. We thank you for the people that you're allowing us to speak with. We thank you for the gifts that you're giving them. We thank you for their families. We thank you for everything that you're doing for them, Heavenly Father. Now, Lord, as we get ready to read the particular number of Psalm, Heavenly Father, and we begin to listen to the music, we're asking you, would this be something that is pleasing and edifying your sight? In Jesus' name we pray. Hey. Amen. And I'm going to read Psalm 103, Numbers 1 through 6. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I want to read number 6. The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. I have read to you Psalm 103, number 1 through 6. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, doers, and the seekers of his holy word. And next, we're moving right along. I want you to listen to a song entitled Jesus is Mine. We're going to raise this service a little bit. And hopefully, from this little speaker here, you can hear the song. If not, then I'll download it and put it on my computer on tomorrow. But we're going to raise this service a little bit and listen to the Florida Mass Choir, amen? And it's entitled, Jesus is Mine. And yes, Jesus is mine. I love the Lord with all of my heart, and I'm not ashamed to say it. So without further ado, I would like to go ahead and play this particular song for you. Give me just a second. That was the Florida Mass Choir with Jesus Is Mine. And now we're up to our prayer. And you're going to hear a consecration prayer. Then you're going to hear a prayer for just general things. And I want you to be very open-minded, and I want you to pray unto God, because with this spiritual conviction, this is a new movement. A lot of people do not speak about spiritual conviction. A lot of people do not preach about spiritual conviction. Most of the ministry, according to the Word of God, I want to give you some background for my newcomers and for my people who have been with me since day one, what God gave me, because it's very important that you understand the purpose and the reasoning behind this. A lot of us teach people or minister to people or preach to people about the Word of God, which that's what we're supposed to do. The book, the good book, has a lot of things in there. But what Jesus showed me was the things in the Bible are accurate. However, you do know the scribes were writing the Bible. And what happens is a lot of times the story is told as it happened, yet sometimes because of the writing, people misinterpret the scripture. It's not that the Bible is wrong. It's not that the scribes wrote it wrong, but we have to begin to allow people to walk into the will of God. You know, how do we do that? Well, this is the, if you will, the verb part of the ministry. You know, what we understand in the Bible has to do with the subjects and the nouns, if you will, respectfully. Now let's go to the verb, the action part. How are we going to get souls over to Christ? Whether it's through church, whether it's saying, Lord, I accept you. How are we going to do that? And I'm going to tell you a story because it's very important that we find a sense of urgency in getting people to come to Christ. It's very important. And so I'm going to go through this particular lesson, my first class here on spiritual conviction. And I'm going to tell you like this, the Lord is going to lead this lesson. I have a few things that I just jotted down, but I'm going under the unction of the Spirit and whatever God gives me. So without further ado, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. Lord, we thank you for the ministry. We thank you for the Love of Jesus Up ministry, Lord. We thank you for the host. We thank you for the listeners. We thank you for the friends, Lord. We thank you for the Word of God. Now, Lord, as we begin to go deeper into the Word of God and to actually make things happen through the Spirit and the power of God, we're asking you, Heavenly Father, would you hide me behind the cross and would you reveal yourself unto the people, Lord. Would you decrease me all the way to zero and increase you to greatness, Heavenly Father. If we're too high, bring us down. If we're too low, Heavenly Father, bring us up. Lord, we're asking you with this spiritual conviction, Heavenly Father, be a ministry that uplifts people and that help people come unto you, Lord, and help people understand the will and help people prepare for the coming of Christ, Lord. Heavenly Father, we're asking you as I begin to give the word of God, would you crown my head from the top to the bottom, Heavenly Father, and help me to dispense the words that will come out of your mouth. Dispense the words that is in your will, Heavenly Father, and not put any opinions, not be biased in any type of spiritual thing, Heavenly Father, but to give the word of God in an authentic way that you would have me to give it, Heavenly Father. I'm asking you, would you use this mind, would you use these hands, would you use these feet, would you use this heart, Heavenly Father, would you use these ears to hear the voice that speaketh from heaven on high, Heavenly Father, so that we may give people the accurate information. Heavenly Father, we're asking in the name of Jesus, if there's something in my heart or mind that is not like you, that is not of you, we're asking in the name of Jesus, would you remove it? If there's something that's not like you in the hearts and minds of the people and the listeners who are online right now and the listeners who are coming online and the listeners who will come online, Lord, we're asking would you remove it right now. If there are any distractions, Heavenly Father, we're asking you, would you remove those right now in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. We're asking would you bless this particular ministry, Heavenly Father, to be one in which we give the accurate information. We give the revelation of God. We give the prophetic word of God. We give the Holy Spirit of God, Heavenly Father, and we offer up everything unto you. We come unto you as empty cups, ready to be filled, Heavenly Father, with the Holy Spirit, ready to be filled with the Word of God, ready to be filled with the revelation of God so that we can give unto the people. We thank you, Lord, for the visions. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the ears that are open to hear your Word, Heavenly Father. We're asking that you bless us to become better people throughout this ministry, because not only do we minister and teach to the people of God, but we preach and minister unto ourselves, Heavenly Father. Help us, Heavenly Father, to continue to do your work. Help us to walk in your will, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Hey, amen. And now we're going to go into prayer for what the Lord gives us. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, Heavenly Father, tonight. On the Love of Jesus sub-ministry, Heavenly Father, praying for each concern, Lord, whatever concerns individuals have, Lord. We ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, would you help this ministry to be a place of refuge, a spiritual hospital where souls can come and listen to the Word of God and get saved, Heavenly Father. We ask in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, as the Word go forth, Heavenly Father, would you bless the Word to minister unto people, Heavenly Father, minister unto myself and others who are listening, Lord, and would you just help it to go forth in the name of Jesus. Lord God, if there is anyone who is bereaved, anyone who's just in a bind, Heavenly Father, we're asking you, would you look down upon them and be El Shaddai Elohim, Yahweh, Heavenly Father, in their lives. Lord God, we're asking in the name of Jesus, would you continue to lift us up and build us up where we're supposed to be, Heavenly Father, and strengthen us, Heavenly Father, where we're torn down. Lord God, as we begin to give this spiritual conviction ministry, Lord, we're asking, would you bless it to be something where people will understand and people will begin to apply to their lives so that they can live better lives and live according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is our first class. I would like to welcome each and every one of you to the Love of Jesus ministry. The title of this particular segment is entitled Spiritual Conviction. First of all, let's go ahead and dive into the different revelations that the Lord has given. First of all, question, and I'm going to go slow, because, and the reason why I'm going slow is because we have a lot of new people, and also because it's very important that we understand the basics before we get into numerical operations as far as it deals with the spiritual conviction. And when I speak about numerical observations, I'm not talking about algebra, trig, and chemistry. I'm speaking about terms in which is utilized in the spiritual realm, okay? So, spiritual conviction, first of all, what is it? Spiritual conviction, according to the Lord, is a beckoning. It's a calling from God, a calling from sin and unrighteousness to the good of the land, to forgiveness. That's what it is. That's what a spiritual conviction is. It is the process in which the Lord calls us from our fault. He calls us from our sin and causes us to realize what we're doing. This is correlated to a snatching from Satan. The Lord snatches us from Satan, and he takes us to a place where he can begin to deal with us, okay? And that's the picture that the Lord showed me. So imagine that Satan always has us bound every day because we sin daily. But the Lord snatches us from the snares of Satan, and he takes us to a place, whatever place that is, whether it's in our minds, whether it's a physical place, and he sits us down, and he begins to speak unto us, and he begins to come into our heart. So the Lord repossesses us from the devil. That's what it is. That's what spiritual conviction is. I want you to write that down. The Lord repossesses us from the devil. Okay? Now, a lot of people say, are you just speaking about the soul or are you speaking about the whole body? I'm speaking about the whole body. That's why we have to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. When we do that, it takes our whole body. It's not just the soul. Okay? The Lord takes the whole person. Why? Because with your eyes, you have to see the glory of the Lord. You have to focus on God. With your ears, you have to hear his voice. Is that right? With your hands, you have to be able to touch people, and you have to be able to give and extend your service, right? With your feet, you have to walk into the will of God. So the Lord needs the holistic person, okay? So it's a repossession from the devil, all right? Number two, how do you know that it exists? Well, how do you know spiritual conviction exists? Well, if we go back to the Garden of Eden, we'll find that Adam and Eve was in the garden, right? And Jesus had told them not to eat of the forbidden fruit. And when Jesus came back, he asked, he said, "Where are you?" And Adam said, "I'm hiding because I'm naked." And the Lord says, "Who told you you were naked? And have you disobeyed my commandment to refrain from eating the fruit of the forbidden tree?" Excuse me, I'm getting excited. I can't even talk. "Of the forbidden tree." So basically the Lord asked, you know, where are you? First of all, they were hiding because they knew they did something wrong. Okay, this is, and I'm going to break it down to you. And we're going to go slow, and we have 2 hours. And it's very important that people understand this. First of all, let me reread that, okay? Adam and Eve, all right, they were in the garden. The Lord asked, "Where are you?" Adam said, "I'm hiding because I am naked." And so God said, "Who told you that you were naked? And have you disobeyed my commandment to refrain from eating the fruit of the forbidden tree?" Well, let's look at this thing. First of all, he said, "Where are you?" The Lord says, anytime that we sin, we try to disassociate ourselves from the sin because, why? We don't want to get caught. So he said, "Where are you?" And Adam was being convicted at this time because he said, what? "I am hiding." He said, "Because I am naked." He gave himself away because he knew that he had done something wrong, and he knew because he does something wrong that it was exposed. So he says, "I am hiding." He was trying to cover up and fool God. But how many of you know that God knows everything about us? Amen? And so the Lord said it in a smooth way. He said, "Who told you that you were naked? And have you disobeyed my commandment?" The Lord knew he disobeyed his commandment. You know, and the Lord knew that he found out he was naked because he ate of the fruit, but he asked Adam those questions. At no time did he blame Adam. He asked him a question. He said, "Did you disobey my commandment?" He took him through a process, a thinking process. First of all, he said, "Where are you?" He was giving Adam time to think about why he was hiding. And see there, see how he gave that answer? He said, "Because I'm naked." That's why he was hiding. Then he asked him for that part that I told you about, which is he was trying to figure out who told you that you were naked, right? And have you disobeyed my commandment? And so at no point did the Lord blame anyone. He was asking him questions, right, in order for him to understand his reasoning behind why he was hiding, and also to give Adam a heads up that he knew what he was doing, right? Number two, how do we know that spiritual conviction exists? Well, if we go and we ask Jesus about his disciple Judas, he would tell us in Matthew 26 and 21 that they were sitting around eating, and he said, "I know that one of you will betray me." Right? He said that. He said, "One of you is going to betray me." And, of course, as I said before, on yesterday, the day before, I said, Judas said, "Surely you don't think it's me, Lord." And in other words, God said, "You said it, I didn't." You know? And so with this particular thing, there was a spiritual conviction because the Lord just threw it out there. He says, "I know that one of you is going to betray me." Right? And so Judas, out of all the disciples, right, he gave himself away because he said, "Hey," he said, "surely you don't think it's me, Jesus. Jesus didn't call any names." But that's the whole point of self-conviction and spiritual conviction, because what's inside comes out. You can't hide from God. What was inside of Adam and Eve, which was their fruit, amen, they had partaken of that fruit, came out. And how did it come out? Because they were naked. Judas, how did this question, right, just cause him to come out like that? Because of his conviction, what's in will come out. Let's look at, I always talk about Saul on the Damascus Road, Acts 9:3-6. The Lord asked him a question. "Why are you persecuting me?" Why? Why are you doing that? He didn't say stop, as I said before. He didn't say don't do it anymore. He said, why are you doing it? Because he wanted Saul to know that he knew that he was doing something wrong. Is that right? And that's why Saul changed his name to Paul also, because he said he's a new man. He's a new person. And God says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. So in all of these experiences, right, the Adam and Eve, the Judas experience, the Saul experience, Jesus intervened. All of these experiences encountered Jesus. And when you encounter Jesus, what this spiritual conviction is saying is you will never be the same. The truths will begin to come out because you are convicted by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So that's how we know it exists. And there are other examples that we're going to talk about later on as we get deeper into this spiritual conviction. Who can receive spiritual conviction? The answer is everyone. The Lord says he has no respect of persons. Everyone is entitled to a spiritual conviction. Everyone, every single person, from the pastors, the prophets, the ministers, the people of God, the people who are in the streets, the people who don't know God, the atheists, everyone is entitled to a spiritual conviction. Because why? Because we all belong to God. No matter what, no matter if we claim atheists, no matter if we claim Jehovah's Witness, Baptist, Catholic, Apostolic, Kojic, whatever we claim, we still belong to Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And the Lord can convict any one of us spiritually. The Lord can intervene at any time and convict us spiritually. Okay? So that answer is everyone is entitled to receive spiritual convictions. Everyone. There's not one person. Even a child is entitled to receive a spiritual conviction. Right? And we'll talk about that a little later. Just giving you the basics. How many times, right, can someone be spiritually convicted? Jesus said that in the Revelation that the number is infinity. There is no set number as to how many times someone can be spiritually convicted. If we think about it, we sin daily. And many times when people say, I was put back on the right road, no, you was spiritually convicted. So some people who are into God and who continuously just do wrong, right, they can be convicted up to 2 times a day, 3 times a day, 4 times a day. But with these spiritual convictions, it has a lot to do with the environment and the people you are around. And that's why the Lord showed a repossession from the devil. Because our environment sometimes causes us to be in the possession of the devil or of Satan, and Jesus has to come and snatch us from the snare, and he has to sit us down and convict us so that we can come back unto him and serve him. Does that make sense? So spiritual convictions has no number on it. You can be convicted as many times as the Lord see fit. We don't know. Okay? Next question, what is the correlation between spiritual conviction and the conscience? Well, the conscience is just that. The conscience is knowing that something is wrong, knowing that you're doing something wrong. When we talk about the conscience as our guide, you continue with it because no one can see your conscience. No one is able to see your conscience. That means no one is able to see inside of your heart. Not a prophet, no one. Only the Lord is able to see your conscience inside your heart. And usually with your conscience, the devil has possession of your conscience as well. And when I say the devil has possession of your conscience, it's because your conscience is correlated to good and bad. And when we talk about the good and bad, and when we talk about the conscious mind, what we're speaking of is that when people want to go to the bad side, right, which is the evil side, then what the devil does is he locks up. That's why a lot of people say, you know, I have chains, I'm bound. Yeah, you're bound because your conscience is locked up, right? Your conscience is locked up, right, and you can't see a way out. And that's where the spiritual conviction comes in. Again, I keep referring back to it, and the Lord has to repossess us from the devil. So your conscience mind, no one can see that, okay? And so a lot of people, you know, they're called, in the world, they're called, that's a cold person who would do something like that. That person was just evil and mean. They don't even have a conscience. You're exactly right. They don't, because the devil has it, and it's numb. It's kind of like when you go to the dentist and they numb up your mouth so that they can, you know, do work on your mouth. You don't feel it. And the reason why you don't feel it is because you're bound by the devil, because he has your conscience, right? And so when he has your conscience, then what happens is God has to come and repossess it, all right? And that's what I talked about yesterday about the force, because when it gets so bad and the Lord sees that you're in danger, he repossesses you from Satan. And a lot of people want to run back to Satan. And that's why people continue to do wrong, because they think that God's going to rescue them all the time. And that's when the Lord convicts us spiritually. Okay? But let's talk about spiritual conviction. Spiritual conviction is real. Okay? And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. When the Lord comes, right, he will reprove the world of sin, you know, and of righteousness and of judgment. So we will be judged. That's why it's very important that when we're convicted spiritually, that we change our behaviors like Saul did, that we change our behaviors, right, when we become spiritually convicted, because the whole point is that Jesus is coming back, and this is not to scare anybody. This is not to say the world's going to end. No. This is not to say that Jesus is going to light a match and the whole world's going to blow up. No. All right? Everyone is an individual thing, and we have to be spiritually convicted as an individual so that we can turn our lives around. Okay? So phase one. Let's talk about phase one. This is phase one. This is our first class. We're just kind of going over the basics. I'm kind of just giving you an overview of spiritual conviction, okay? Phase one. So we do wrong. We continue to do the same thing over and over again, right? Why do we continue to do the same thing over and over again? Because we are functioning under a numb conscience, and that is the guide rather than the Holy Spirit. So when individuals continue to do wrong, okay, and this goes for schools, this goes for communities, I mean, this is basically just anything. When individuals continue to do wrong, it's because they have not had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and it's a true fact. When you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, you're a totally different creature, as I said before. But people continue to do wrong, as I said before, because the devil has possession of our souls and they have possession of our whole body. And the devil has locked it up because he knows that if he doesn't lock it up, he knows that you can turn that behavior around. And so what happens is your soul, just say it's in a vault, okay? Your soul is in a vault, and the Lord has to go and repossess you. The Lord has to repossess us from Satan when we continuously do wrong, all right? So, for instance, the doctor says stop smoking. You continue to smoke until the doctor says, okay, this is really affecting your heart. So you stop for a few months, and then you add it again after that. That's your conscience. You stopped because the doctor told you something. The doctor says, this is really affecting your heart. So you stopped for a little bit. But then you started back again. Why? Because no one can see your conscience. And that's why individual sin. That's why we sin, because we think that Jesus does not see. The people is unable to see, but Jesus is able to see. And that's when he knows that he needs to convict us spiritually. Same scenario, different outcomes. Doctor tell you, you know, you need to stop smoking because it's really affecting your heart. You stop and you think about it. And as you begin to think about it, the Lord begins to deal with you. A small voice says, you know this is wrong. Do you really want to mess up your heart? You go through this process of self-talk. You go through this process of thinking. You go through this process of a spiritual renewal. You go through this process of self-reflection, which is very important. And so with the spiritual conviction, the Lord doesn't say stop smoking, don't smoke anymore, why did you start back up? It's more of a small voice saying, hey, you know this is wrong, right? Because as I said before, when you're convicted spiritually, you begin to know your boundaries. And at that point, you become aware, and you know, right from wrong. We all know right from wrong. And when we know right from wrong and we continue to go on and carry on, for instance, in basketball, when the ball is out of bounds and you still playing the ball, well, it's to no avail because actually it's the other team's ball. So you're just doing it just out of vain. But if the ball goes out of bounds, right, and the other team gets the ball and you get it back, then you're able to do something with the ball, and that's what happens. The Lord has to repossess us from Satan, take us to a place where he can begin to convict our hearts, where we would come unto him. And when I mean come unto him, I mean to fully dedicate our lives to him. And spiritual conviction is a long process. I'm just giving you an overview. It is a long process, but it can be done. And each day, as I say to my spiritual guide, we are perfecting our walk. So when we look at the spiritual convictions, we're going to look at different scenarios in the Bible, but we're going to go on the revelation of God. Because, as I said before, one of the main things to understand about spiritual conviction is that everyone needs to be convicted. As we said before, we don't need to put out warrants for people because everyone knows and understands that the Lord wants us. He wants us in the kingdom. He wants us to come to him. You know, there are some people still in the possession of the devil, believe it or not. And God is getting ready to repossess some people. And you have to be ready. Some the Lord will get through force. Others will be convicted while they're in possession of the devil, okay? And so when I say force, I don't mean that the Lord is going to literally, how do I put this, that the Lord is going to have to beg. There is something about the authoritative nature of the Lord that causes people to do right, amen? Just like ask the Israelites. There's something about a spiritual conviction where people voluntarily begin to do the right thing. There's something about a spiritual conviction where people begin to tell the truth. There's something about a spiritual conviction that overrides the conscience that guides us. There's something about a spiritual conviction that causes us to serve the Lord in spirit and truth. There's something about a spiritual conviction that causes us to become closer to God. There's something about a spiritual conviction to begin to try to break free from the snares of the devil and get to God. There's something about a spiritual conviction that gets us to praying and gets us to wanting to know how to draw closer unto God. So being spiritually convicted is very important. But the question that the Lord has for us is, how are we going to get those individuals who are numb to Satan? How are we going to unfreeze them, if you will? How are we going to repossess them? And the answer is a spiritual conviction. We're going to pray for it. We're going to pray for it. And so when we talk about spiritual conviction over these next few months, we are going to really focus on regaining our souls, regaining our the whole person. Because see what happens, and the Lord is showing this, what happens is some people, when the Lord comes to repossess the whole person, our hypothetically, our minds are still numb with the devil. Our hands are still numb. We don't want to serve. Our feet are still numb. We don't want to walk in the will of God. Our ears are still numb. We don't want to hear the voice of God. Our eyes are numb. We don't want to focus on the Lord. We want to focus on everything else. And so we only give, when we come unto God, we are straddling the fence. We are with Satan, with this part, with walking, and with the, you know, with the service, then we're trying to serve the Lord. And you can't serve two masters. That's why the Lord said you can't serve two masters. But with self-conviction, you want to do what's right. And so that's what happens. It's not that people don't know who God is. It's not that people do not want to come unto Christ. It's that people are trying to live in a double standard. You know, they want half with the devil, and they want half with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's not working, because God wants the whole me. He wants the whole us. You know, he don't want half, he don't want some, but he want all, right? That's why it says he's a jealous God, because the Lord doesn't want half of your soul over there with the devil and then half of it over with him. He wants it all, okay? And so that's why with Jesus being jealous and the jealousy of the world is totally different, because the Lord is jealous in that he wants us to do the right thing. And he wants us to be with him. And the jealous of the world is the wrong thing, because either you're lusting after something that is not yours, or it's just evil, right? So when we look at this, self-conviction is very important. And so we're going to really, really focus on the aspect of self-conviction, and we are going to go deep into self-conviction. But this was just the basis, as I said before. It's kind of like a repeat from yesterday, because I have a lot of new people. And this particular ministry will spiral again, because that's just how it works. But with this spiritual conviction, we're going to go deeper into the phase of how the Lord convicts us spiritually. Our job as teachers, ministers, preachers, prophets, evangelists, elders of the church is not to spiritually convict people, but it's to move people in the right direction to God, because the Lord is the one who is going to spiritually convict people through the heart. But we have to educate people, and we have to begin to break chains through the word of God. That's how we break the chains, through the word of God. Then after the chains are broken, the Lord is able to spiritually convict people, where their hearts will become right, their minds will be stayed on Jesus, their feet will be going the right path, their hands will begin to serve. Okay? So we are preparing people and ourselves for the coming of Jesus Christ. And we're not saying this is the end of the world, because it's not. But it's very important that while we're on earth and while we have a ministry, that we begin to prepare people for the coming of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus comes, and it says it in the Bible, it says he's coming to judge the righteousness. He's coming to judge sin. And it's nothing but a spiritual conviction. That's it. It's a spiritual conviction. And we have to be ready to accept it. People who are holding on to Satan, people who are bound, they're going to be set free by the Holy Spirit. But once you're set free, you have to know how to walk in the will of God. Because sometimes you forget how to walk when you're unable to walk for so long because you're so bound. It's just like that bird, as I said before. The bird was in a bird cage for so long that when the owner opened up the cage and said, "Little birdie, you're free, because I paid the price," the bird wants to remain in the cage because it's been locked up and bound so long. So what God is saying is many of us are locked up and bound. And so when the spiritual conviction comes, we're ready to be released, but we don't know what to do with the release. Is that right? So spiritual conviction is going to be very important. and we're going to really, really focus on that, okay? So I just wanted to kind of give you a brief overview of spiritual conviction as far as what it was and, you know, that it's for everyone. It's just like salvation. It's free. It's for everyone. And just to prepare people for the coming of Christ, and that's basically it. And without further ado, I would like to encourage you to continue to encourage your family and friends by telling them, asking them to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freedolove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. A spiritual guide to go is online at barnesandnobles.com. It's also at follis.com, and it's also at bookworld.com. It's also at amazon.com, amazonuk.com. It's at a lot of the bookstores online. So please be sure to look that up and support the Love Lift Jesus Up ministry. In addition to that, gospel artists, artist promoters, authors, writers, actors, actress, positive community leaders, please, 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 Facebook at Free to Love at ALFREDALOVE or FREDALOVE, or you can email me at EMONYA_love@yahoo.com. I would love, 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 love to interview you on the Love Lift Jesus Up ministry. In addition to that, make sure you're praying for 120 individuals. If you have to pray for all of your family members, put them all on one line and pray for them one by one, and do not forget to pray for yourselves. The CWC, Connecting with Christ, is live and running. We're still sending out letters. Just continue to look out for the letters. Continue to pray. We're bringing ministries out of the building into the communities and neighborhoods where we can begin to reach out and extend to all of the individuals in the community. In addition to that, understand that on tomorrow I will have or I will feature a particular segment, and this particular segment has to do with I'm looking here on my sheet here, okay, has to do with Ms. Keisha Covington of Atlanta, Georgia. She would join us on tomorrow. And she is going to speak about her music ministry. And so we are so excited and delighted that she will be on the Love Lift Jesus Up ministry. As you do know that she started singing at the age of 5. She's a native of Atlanta, Georgia. She has toured with several local and national recording artists. She just has a very good vocal. She's been a member of the Total Grace Christian Center for a long time. And she's the proud wife to Jesse Covington, and she's the mother to Alan. So be sure to check her out on tomorrow, and I'm going to play some of her music on the Love of Jesus Up ministry on tomorrow. Then, as I'm looking at my calendar, on the next day, which is Wednesday, we will have the pleasure of having Miss Keisha J. on the Love Lift Jesus Up ministry. And as you can recall, she sings the song I Won't Complain. She has also worked closely with Miss Kelly Price and some other artists. So please be sure to join us for that amazing interview. Then in addition to that, on Thursday, God's will, you will be praying with love, and then I will give you more information as the week progresses. Remember to check out the Love Lift Jesus ministry on Facebook as well, because I will have updates. You can email me with any information, media, you can email me. I would love to interview some of your artists and other individuals. I thank those individuals who are reaching out to me, and I'm reaching out to you as well. The Love Lift Jesus ministry is going to higher heights because of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be sure to continue to just tell your family and friends about the Love Lift Jesus Up ministry. And if someone asks you what that big smile is all about, you tell them that love lifts you up because God is love. Till next time, which is tomorrow, take care of yourself, send each other. Goodbye, everybody.